Good morning. I'm always afraid I'm going to break that when I push that down. I'm glad it's flexible. It occurred to me, we've had so many people praying for us this year, and I don't think we formally thanked. I know many of you are praying for us as we join the geriatric squad of Wells EMTs down there. And it's been very interesting, but I do want to thank all of you who prayed that we would get through that. And it was very interesting. But as Ken said to me a few weeks ago, now the learning begins. But we're grateful to you, not only for prayers for that, but, you know, in general, when you keep us in prayer. And we're very thankful to be official members again of the church here, and looking forward to having a long-standing relationship as fellow members with you in the local body of Christ here in Speculator. And here in the Adirondacks, what a great place. Isn't it beautiful? And I said to my cat this morning, wanted to get out, and I said, no, you got to wait till I get home. She likes to sit on the front porch. She doesn't leave the porch. But I said, no, you got to wait. It's going to be warm later. And we're looking forward to a warmer weather and black flies and all those wonderful things, right? All right. If you want to turn in your Bible to Ephesians 4, and as I've told you in the past, I seem to be living here in Ephesians. The older I get, I just seem to appreciate this great letter so much. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16, and then we're going to talk about walking worthy, really talking about living for Christ, being in Christ, and walking with Him in life's journey. But let's look at what he says here. The subtitle is Unity in the Body of Christ, but there's a lot more going on here. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended to the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, for shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of Christ, all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And of course, he's talking about women there as well. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Just an update here. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the descended and that portion of this passage. I will touch on it, but we're going to focus more on walking worthy in the unity of the body of Christ and being in Christ and what that means. So I want you to think of the word walk, and I guess we can combine it in worthy, but also think about your spiritual goals. We all have goals. We talk about, I was talking to my son who recently moved back into New York, and they're down in Amsterdam now. One of his goals is someday to save enough money to buy a house. That's a legitimate goal. Some have a career goal. You know, some have a certain degree. You're pursuing an education, and that's a goal you've set. Starting a family. There's all kinds of goals. But I want to put it into a spiritual mode, though. I want us to think about spiritual goals. I think often it's in our nature as people of the world and humans that we think of those physical goals and those achievements. It seems to always be in the forefront. And yet, in a passage like this, Paul's reminding us that there's this spiritual side of life that is to be all-encompassing for the Christian. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You in Christ, Christ in you. Being filled with the Spirit, walking in newness of life. And there's so many passages, right, that talk about our walk. And now he adds this caveat of, okay, are we walking in a worthy manner? Are we walking in such a way that we're glorifying Christ, seeing what he has done for us, what's been accomplished through the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, dying for the sins of this world? And we have that privilege of being joined in communion with him and with his body, the church. Amen? And so how are we going to walk in that? And do we reflect on these things, that we want to walk with him and have spiritual goals? So I want you to think about what your goals might be as a Christian as we go through this. In the NIV, it's a little different in verse, starting this off, verse 1. I urge you, he says, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The NASV says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And so I urge you to walk in a manner that's worthy. Dr. Ernest Campbell writes that we should walk worthy, which comes from the Greek phrase. I love some of these long Greek words. It's worse than Russian, you know. It's really hard. Axios peripatesai. You can memorize that word. Let me know how you do. But to live in keeping with, or to live in a manner of becoming, or in a manner that corresponds to your holy calling. That's what that phrase is talking about. Working towards a spiritual goal of walking with Christ in a way that's worthy of what he has done for us. I think Jim alluded in prayer that today, and then really this week, it's kind of a national movement of commitment to Christ, a revival, if you will. Some of you heard about that? Okay. So this is kind of a fitting message, I think, to go along with that. Do we personally ever need a refreshing, a reconnection, a recommitment, a rethink of what it actually means to be a Christian? What it means to be in Christ or Christ in you, again, the hope of glory. Do we need a refresh from time to time, a rethink? Kind of, a checking of our priorities. Are we so busy with life that we forget about our walk with Christ? So that should be our goal, to walk a life that's worthy of our salvation. So this opening phrase is an imperative or a command. Paul is not saying to the church, listen, if you have time, and if you really think, would you please consider maybe trying to walk a Christian life. Would you maybe consider walking in a manner that's worthy of the giftings that Christ has provided to you? Would you just consider that? No, he says, I urge you. I am commanding. This is an imperative. I want you to walk in a manner that is worthy of what Christ has done. That, again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he touched on this as well. He says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Again, he's talking about how there should be a change, right? If anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. There should be a change. Oh, by the way, another subnote here. Does Paul ever say this is easy? All right. So have you noticed that sometimes the Christian life can be a challenge? Fighting certain temptations, fears, anxiety, sinful desires. None of you ever have any temptations, right? So it can be a challenge. This it's an imperative. He's commanding us to do this, but he never says, piece of cake. Follow Jesus. It's a cakewalk, right? What did Jesus say? As you're walking the world, that we're full of trials and tribulations. And Paul said the same thing. But be of good cheer, right? Because I have overcome the world. So he's telling us here in verse 4 of chapter 1 that those in Christ have been elected, predestined, brought into the church, adopted into the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. And we are then to know the love of God, the love of Christ, and thereby grow deeper and deeper in our intimate knowledge of who Christ is and what he expects of his church, his body. And Paul is telling us in chapter 4, this is intentional. It's not a casual thing. This is something we have to be intentional. And I confess, if I'm not intentional about my walk with Christ, again, I get distracted. Do you? We have to be intentional. We have to be focused. And it's so easy. It's so easy to not be focused or to lose our focus, right? All right. So let us look at our outline. I just have 3 points this morning. I was going to do 30, but I thought you'd like to get home eventually. So we'll do 3. Verses 1 through 6, we're going to talk about the unity of the Spirit and the body and how that relates to walking with Christ, okay? Matter of fact, all 3 of these points, just keep in the back of your mind that all of them point to ways of equipping and helping us so that we can walk worthy. Because you need help. I need help to do that. We're not able to do this on our own. That's why we are in Christ. Christ is in us. The Spirit is in us to equip and enable and to help us with this. So the unity of the Spirit and the body, 1 through 6. Recognizing the body, verses 7 through 13. And then growing in the body, verses 14 through 16. Let's pray and ask God's Spirit to direct us as we reflect on his word. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your truth. Let God be true and every man a liar, Father. Your word is true. And I'm sure that you have something for each of us this morning from this passage that we can reflect on. And hopefully, Lord, it will guide us to a better understanding of our spiritual walk, our unity with you and with your body, the church, and how all of this comes together so that we might walk worthy. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 1 through 6, we again talk a little bit about the unity of the body. I like to reread as we go because we all forget what we already read, don't we? So again, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. There's a good word. Bearing with one another in love, being eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Right? If you were down south, it'd be in you all. It'd be in y'all, but it's in all. So Paul begins chapter 4, again, commanding us to walk worthy. He tells us what we need in our lives to help carry out this imperative. He talks about things like humility, right? I was going to write a book once, The 10 Most Humble Men in the World and How I Trained the Other 9, but I thought, nah, that's that's not cool, you know. But he talks about we need humility in our life. By the way, if you need humility and gentleness and patience, somehow, I don't know how this happens, but things happen to you and to me that will help bring about humility. Have you ever been humbled? Eat a little humble pie or eat crow, as they say. Had your patience tested? And, you know, I never pray for patience, by the way. Because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Have you ever had that feeling? But he's telling us, and we'll see more of this, that humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, these help to equip us in our spiritual walk. You'll notice also that through these first 6 verses, there is a clear emphasis on oneness. One with the Father, one with the body, one with each other, right? One in our relationship. Unity of the Spirit, unity in the body of Christ. In the King James, it says, walk worthy of your vocation. Isn't that interesting? And how? In the King James, through lowliness and meekness. Meaning, again, we need humility, patience, endeavoring to be long-suffering, to endeavor to have unity with other people. And it's as if, as you go through this first 16 verses, that Paul is saying, look, a prerequisite, even though I'm commanding you to walk worthy, a prerequisite is that you develop humility and patience, long-suffering, and how you interact with other believers, and so on. That you have to start building on those things if you're going to be successful in walking worthy of the faith. Like I said, this is not easy, right? Humility is not always easy. Patience can be a difficult thing for us, especially men. So you ladies are a little more patient, I think, personally. But it's still difficult for all of us. But Paul is emphasizing we need unity, we need oneness as a part of walking worthy with the Lord. In verses 2 through 7, that word one appears 9 times. I don't know, in your translation might be a little different, but look 8 or 9 times, you're going to see the word one. The word unity also appears several times in this passage. So obviously, when there's all this repetition of a word like one, unity, Paul is telling us this oneness of your faith in Christ, your one in the body of Christ, your unity with the church and his body. That's why we should all be a part of a local body, that all of this is necessary. And this is a good thing. He's saying this will help you. And we all need help, folks, with walking in a worthy manner of our faith and our Savior, being with him. We need help. And he's saying all these factors will contribute. They will help you as you grow in Christ. A follower of Christ, to walk worthy, he says, must be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, be one, again, in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, at peace, one in the body and spirit, one in hope, as we recognize that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father who is in all of us if we're in the faith. Dr. Ernest Campbell writes that Paul is not telling us to produce unity. Did you notice that? He's not saying go and make or create unity. What is he saying to do? Maintain. Or another word would be preserve unity. In other words, unity with other people, unity in a church, if we're not careful, what happens? Can we lose it? Ever heard of a church split or a division in a body or a denomination? Never happens. Right? I remember I have a book in my office, sort of an office now, but it's the Handbook of Denominations. Anyone ever see that book? It's a pretty thick book. And I saw a hand back there. All right. Joe has that book. I just looked up Baptist because I grew up in the conservative Baptist church. But I think there's like hundreds of types of Baptist now. You know, there's primitive Baptist, conservative Baptist, American Baptist, North American Baptist, all kinds. Hundreds of them. And other denominations, it's the same. We just saw the United Methodist Church, not so united anymore, right? So we have to preserve unity, and that's in the local body, right? And then you know, all the other bodies of Christ try to maintain unity because it's something that can be lost and it can be very painful if you've ever been a part of a church going through a real struggle or a battle over whatever. One church I was a part of, they had a battle over the color of the curtains in the sanctuary. That's worth splitting your church over, right? What color the curtains are? You laugh, right? But it happens. So and there were things going on behind the scenes that enabled that to cause division. Because something like that should not cause division. I hope you're not considering curtains or anything. I don't want to cause problems ahead of time. Why is unity in the spirit and unity in the body so important? And what's the ultimate example of unity in the Godhead, right? Father, Son, Spirit. Three, we sing the song, God in three persons, you know. It's the greatest illustration of unity. Stuart Briscoe writes this about unity of the church. He says, whenever we speak of God to someone, whenever we speak of our faith in Jesus Christ, they watch us and they watch our church. If we cannot demonstrate unity, how will anyone believe? So unity is important, isn't it? Okay. An element of our calling, Paul says, is an understanding, first, of who we are in Christ, what Christ has done for us by his death, burial, and resurrection. And then what we are supposed to do as believers is given here a call to unity, a call to oneness, a call to patience and all these things, humility in order to help us to walk together and by ourselves too, because we have our own personal relationship with Christ, but in order that we can walk worthy of our vocation, again, as the King James put it. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. We have been adopted as children of God. We are to walk worthy. We are to walk in the Spirit. There's just, again, many, many verses that you'll start thinking of that talk about walking, you know. And I've noticed as I get older, I don't walk as well. Some of you older people get that. Kathy and I call it the Texas two-step. You know what the Daryl knows what it is. You get out of bed or something, you kind of do a little, you know. So you gotta exercise and keep your legs strong as you get older, because you're not always walking as good as you used to, right? As we grow older in our faith, then we need to be careful, again, that we continue to walk in a worthy manner. And again, Paul is saying here that we recognize the unity of the Spirit and the body and the need for humility, patience, and all these other things. Secondly, we are to recognize the body. Now, I'm going to skip over this part about he ascended on high and led captives. We'll get back to that. I'll just touch on that in a moment. But then he says in verse 11, he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Because we need to be built up in order to walk worthy. We need encouragement. We need the love and acceptance of the body of Christ, his church, and the interaction with people, discipleship. All these things are so important into walking worthy. And he says he's placed people and gifted people in the church. And this isn't the only listing. There's other places in the scriptures where all the spiritual gifts are listed, and those are given to equip us so that we can walk in a worthy manner. So he says that, to equip the saints, verse 12, for the work of ministry, and also for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature adulthood, manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, some of that will be realized, completed when we are with him. That's when all these things will be known, and we'll realize them then. It's going to be a great experience when we are in the presence of Christ, and then we see all the fulfillment of all these things that we've been working on our entire life. But recognizing the body, with unity, Paul reminds Christians everywhere that when we become a follower of Christ, when we are in Christ, we become part of something much bigger than ourselves, don't we? And chapter 1 of Ephesians talks about the universal, the cosmic kingdom of God, the cosmic body of Christ, the kingdom that's coming. And if you're in Christ, you're a part of that now, but that'll be fully realized later on. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul wrote that we, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Amen? So hopefully you remember that. So recognizing the body, again, Paul's saying we need to understand what we are a part of. And remembering what we are a part of will also help us in our walk. We were talking at our Four Seas meeting the other day. Pastor Nate was there Monday when we were down in East Glenville. And we were talking about the doctrine of the union with Christ. To recognize and remember, because again, we forget that we are in Christ. And that phrase "in Christ" is all through the book of Ephesians and many of Paul's epistles. I think all 13. I think it's 13, unless I'm throwing Hebrews in there, which we don't know the author. But you get the idea. That phrase, "in Christ," appears so much. And I think Paul does that on purpose. I don't think it's an accident. The Holy Spirit is telling him, look, keep repeating this phrase, "in Christ," so people in the body will remember that they are not on their own. It's like, thank you for saving me, and now I just kind of stumble in the world all by myself. No, we are part of Christ. We are in Christ. He gives us the Spirit. He said, look, I didn't leave you as orphans, right? Remember that verse? He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he said to the disciples, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit. John 14. John 15. Remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, right? So there's that union with Christ that we need to remember. And then again, we are also gifted, as we see in verses 11, 13, there are spiritual gifts. And these are also given to help us to live out the life that we profess. Again, the King James, to remember your vocation. Throughout this world, and right now, all around this world, people are meeting in churches just like this one. And there will be local expressions of the universal body of Christ. And Paul isn't speaking about just one local geographical expression of the body here. He's reminding us of the complete larger expression, the worldwide universal body of Christ made up of all believers, all those who are truly in Christ. And what do we expect from the body? Probably a good question. When you're joining a church, they ask you all kinds of questions. And then I used to ask people, what do you expect of the church? What are you looking for from the body of Christ, your local church, you know? And hopefully some of the answers would be that they will preach the gospel, that they will teach the truth of God's word, that they will help to disciple me. They will the church that God has given us everything we need. Did you notice that in the reading? You've probably read it before. That God has given you as a Christian in Christ, has given you everything you need for a life of godliness. So Peter's agreeing with Paul here. That to walk a worthy Christian life, God's equipped me. He's given me everything I need. And then he's also, hopefully, placed me in a body, a local church. And that local body is going to help me. So I need to recognize that body and be active there because he's given me everything I need. But folks, I have to work with God, right? I have to be in tune with the Spirit of God and listen. And I have to say, yeah, I got to keep working at this. You know, I always liked that verse, although it troubled me as a youngster. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't earn my salvation, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of works, right? And yet we have this verse, work out your salvation. They're not talking about earning your salvation. They're talking about the ongoing walking with Christ throughout your life, living out your faith in a community, right? Sharing the gospel, sharing your faith, and then living out in a community of other believers to help you to walk worthy. You're working out your salvation, right? That's why it says, he who began a good what? Work in you. When will it be complete? Will be completed in the day of Christ, Christ Jesus. We're going to realize all this in eternity, right? Which will be awesome. But in the meantime, we are given all that we need. Hebrews 5:13 and following says this, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. Right? The Corinthian church, I just noticed it's 10:30 already? Wow. Long-winded pastor today. But the Corinthian church, this was one of their issues. Paul said, you know, I call you saints, but I'm not so sure because you're so immature. You should be able to discern right from wrong. Because if you can't, you're a baby. So they were still baby Christians. And Paul said in chapter 1, right through chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, by now, you should be able to do these things. You should have a basic understanding of the gospel. And he does the same in Hebrews 5, 13 and following, in the beginning of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Milk is for infants, meat of the word, solid food is for the mature. And Paul's telling the Corinthians, look, you guys gotta start walking worthy. You know, you can't stay in this stage of not knowing what's right and what's wrong. You gotta grow up in your faith so that you can walk worthy. All right. So let's get to our last point here. And there's a loud amen from the back. All right. So first we talked about the unity of the spirit and the body and being humble and having patience, developing those things to help us walk, recognizing the body, what it means to be in Christ and to be a part of the family of God and how that will help us to walk as we encourage one another. And we looked at many examples of that. And then lastly, just he talks about growing the body or growing in the body again so that we won't be tossed. We won't be children, again, Hebrews 5, and that we're, you know, tossed about by the waves. James talked about this in James chapter 1, that if you're not in the Word, you're not growing in your faith, that you'll be tossed by every wind of doctrine, right? I had a lady in my church in Michigan, my first church a long time ago, and every week she'd come to me with all these questions and all these doubts about faith and salvation. And she was meeting with the Jehovah Witness at a Bible study all week long. And then she would come to church and tell me, oh, they're so much more zealous than we are. They do so many things. And I'm so confused. And I would sit down with her and we'd go through and I'd show her where they're wrong about Jesus and different things. And she'd say, you're right, Pastor. I won't go there anymore. And then she'd come back the next week. And same thing. I was studying with the Jehovah Witness and they said this about Jesus or whatever. And eventually she became a Jehovah Witness. She was a baby Christian, maybe, don't know, but tossed about by every strange wind of doctrine. Anything that came along, it tickled her ear instead of diving deep into God's Word and really trying to be attached to the local body and learning to walk in Christ. She got distracted by that. So she was not able to grow because she was a baby at best. Peter again talks about this. You know, even though Paul and Peter argued a lot, when you read the epistles, they agree a lot, right? Because they had that little tension, remember? But 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 is newborn babes desire or crave the Word, the Bible, right? And so you can grow by it. So we need to grow up, and we get there by feasting on God's Word, right? All through the Psalms and the Proverbs, we read things about, you know, how precious the Word of God is, more precious than gold. And David will say, I've committed your statutes to memory, right? How can a young man stay pure? By taking heed according to thy word, right? Psalm 119. Thy word I have hid in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you. On and on it goes. There comes a time, Paul is saying overall in this passage, where we have to attain spiritual maturity. Now, we talked about how many women are having babies here? Four? Yeah? It's three or four. Okay, I had my tin ear at that announcement thing. Because all I heard was Jim saying we have to repent about announcements or something. But those babies, when they are born, they have to grow. If a baby doesn't grow over, you know, because they go in for their, and the doctor measures them and how much weight they've gained and how much taller they are. If they don't grow ever, there's a problem. That would be a serious problem, wouldn't it, for an infant that doesn't grow? So again, obviously here, if a spiritual baby doesn't grow, there's a problem. It's not good. Paul says there comes a time we have to walk worthy. We have to grow in a manner that's worthy of the Lord. Otherwise, again, by James, we're going to be tossed back and forth by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. He says that here in verse 14. Instead, he says, we speak the truth in love so that we can grow up in every way We teach each other the truth. We encourage. And the Bible does say we are to correct and rebuke one another. But remember the first part of this chapter, verse, couple of verses. We do this with humility and patience, right? Remember, at one time we were new in the faith too. And so sometimes we bring the hammer down on a brother or sister because they've wandered off. We have to be careful. Speak the truth in love, it says, right, in a loving way. Doesn't mean you can't be firm, but we do it in love. And again, the reason is so that we grow up in every way in Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together as each part, as each of us does the work. It takes a community. The government thing, it takes a village to raise a kid. I don't agree with that. But as far as spiritual growth, it does take a community to help encourage one another. We're not meant to be alone by ourselves as believers. And Paul would, I think, agree with me that that means we need to be intentional. I like that word. We need to be intentional about our spiritual growth. We have to take it seriously. And I'm sure you do. All right, so let's conclude this morning about walking worthy. Do we want to? I mean, do we want to grow up? Do we want to walk in a worthy manner? Do we understand what Christ has really done for us? I think sometimes we forget, or we hear it so much. You know, this is the danger of growing up in the church. How many of you grew up in the church? You've been in the church your whole life, all right? How many of you are more recent, like you've been maybe less than 20 years, you've been a Christian, you didn't grow up in a church? We have anybody? Daryl? Okay. So some of you. But if you've grown up your whole life, from nursery to grave in the church, a lot of times we just, you know, we've heard it. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before, you know. I know what the gospel is. I can recite verses and everything else. We have to be careful that it doesn't grow in that manner that we become weary. This was, you know, in the book of Malachi, as I call it. It's Malachi, but I like Malachi, the Italian prophet. But one of the things in Malachi is that he says the priests, they're rebuked because they grew weary of performing the sacrifices and serving the Lord. It became tiresome to them. We don't want that to happen, do we? But the point is, it can if we let our guard down. And I think we're living in a time when we have to keep our guard up. Amen? Because the challenges of life are intense. Do we want to be worthy of Christ? Do we want to walk worthy? Are we being intentional about our spiritual walk? And I hope you are, and I hope these words may encourage all of us. And I include myself, that we do follow through and we strive to walk in a manner worthy of this glorious Christ and Savior who gave so much for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray it'll encourage us in our spiritual walk and in our love for you and in spiritual growth and all these things. For your honor and glory, we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.